and a sword in his hand, and he's riding a white horse across this land. He has fire in his eyes, and the sword in his hand, he's riding a white horse all across this land. He's calling out to you and me, you ride with me. He has fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand, and he's riding a white horse across this land. Calling out to you and me, will you ride with me? Will you ride?
Well, greetings everybody, Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight right here around the world on WWRB 3.185. It's a clear channel. We got a great program for you, part three of the family name. We're going to get into it and going to tell you, you can't go without being in the name. It's that simple. I pray tonight, may Yahweh bless you. May He grace you. May He give you the knowledge of His wonderful name. I'll be right back.
Saints has any effect. Otherwise, we are just sounding brass, mostly in tinkling cymbal. We talk a talk, but boy, when it comes crunch time, very few are willing to step up the plate and walk a walk. Now, the book of Acts includes the passages that I just mentioned here as a gestalt, Acts 2, beginning at 42. Listen. The character of the early ecclesia, those who walked upright, those who loved him, those who kept the faith, and those who were willing to go all the way with the king. The Bible said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It also said, if you love the world more than me, then the love of the Father is not in you. The Bible says that the early church, in both references, with Luke as the author, believing that he's the author of the book of Acts, he said that the early believers sold their possessions and they came together to worship, continuing in prayer and fellowship and breaking of bread, having all things in common. Now, the most striking thing that I get out of that is they would sell their possessions and their goods and distribute the proceeds to all who had need. Now, the Bible goes on to say through Luke's narrative here that no one claimed private ownership of any possessions. Everything they owned was held in common. Would you like to see that today? You know, most people can't live together for a week, let alone forever. Now, these apostles, the Bible said they continued the steadfast in fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. And great power. This was a special, radical power that was given to these radical, generous saints who preferred their brothers above themselves. They sold their possessions, can you believe it? And they gave all that they had, and they had all things in common. Now, that's a central theme throughout the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, the Bible, and you say, well, we're not supposed to do that today. We got families, we got jobs, and we got other things. I'm going to say this in due respect to all that, and I know that's true. However, listen to this. The Bible says that by selling everything that they had and laying down their goods at the apostles' feet, that they became collectors or recipients of something powerful. Now, this powerful substance of what they received was special miracles and signs wrought by the hands of that body of believers. The generosity they shared, they had all things in common. Could we return to that? That's my question. The relinquishing of private property. Relinquish it. Sell what they had. They came together. And they communal lived. Now, I don't know how big of a commune it was. I know the Essenes, who we believe to be that the communal living people of that age. I think it was outside of Jerusalem. Far outside of Jerusalem, well, not real far, but today's standards it wouldn't be far. But those days, it was probably over a full day's journey, to the Essene, camp. We have evidence that they kept, they cherished writings of Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Elijah, and things of this nature. And they also, we know this for a fact, that they kept the lunar phases as evidence of the calendar. We know that. Now, giving up their private property and their possessions, they gave them to each other as they had need. They had nothing outside of the common bond. They had no worldly pleasures. It doesn't say that they had. The Bible said that they left all. They gave up. Something needs to be sacrificed. Everything that we do, if you love the world, like I say, the love of the world is not in you. We get caught up in the natural things, like living and having a family. And yet the Bible says, if you love daughter, if you love the son, if you love house, if you love wife, if you love anything better than you love Yahweh, you ain't worthy of it. The giving up of one's possessions for the good of others was more than a simple life void of distractions of private property. It became something much greater. It was one of the primary characteristics of community living among the early believers. And without the giving up of the possession to share with others, true community among the believers would not have been realized, and consequently, these earliest followers of the Messiah, who started out, they became very radical to that world or to that age. You would probably identify them today as hippies living in a hippie community. I'm talking strange things. You see, serious people become strange and peculiar. Now, the greater the sacrifice, the larger the blessing. If you're not willing to sacrifice, the Bible says you can't be crowned. Now, listen to this. You cannot be crowned except that you strive lawfully. Now, what's lawfully? Being radical. Going the extra mile of the way. Giving up the things of the world and collectively pursuing the happiness of our Father. Now, what makes a father happy? The Bible said they sold their possessions and they were blessed with great signs and special miracles wrought by the hands of the apostles, and even including the deacons. Man, when they went out, they had power. Just look at Philip. I mean, he converted the whole city with his preaching. So, Yahweh blesses people who make sacrifices. Now, what kind of a sacrifice is it required? I know now this is radical, but it takes this to see performance. And it seems like it takes so long to get people into one mind and one accord. But once you get that, once you come to that all things in common, what you've got is mine and what I've got is yours, nobody lacks, we all share in commonality, and by doing that, we live a life preferring our brother above ourselves, to make him comfortable, to see that he's blessed. See, he has something to eat. Or something to wear. And I'm sure that they wore hand-me-downs. I'm sure that they weren't out shopping at Wally World every day. I'm sure that they didn't have a 401k bulging at the seams. I mean, you know, they had the same type of commercial system that we've got today. We just have more on a scale of 1 to 10. We're probably an 8, or they were probably a 5, but 3 points don't make that much difference when you've got to give up your daily provisions, or you prefer your brother or your sister above yourself. No wonder Yahweh could use them. And we long for that. I don't know about you, but we long for that. I long for that. Now, is it possible to return to this action that requires a major step toward the formation of this type of an assembly? It can't be major. It has to be a minor step. That's the first step. Yahweh wouldn't start you out with a minor or a major step. That was a minor. To them selling their possessions, they must have had something very powerful. And it was formed with 4 letters. It's called love. By this you shall know that if you have love one for another, by this the world shall know. And when they went up there to arrest one, they had to arrest all of them. When they went up there to kill one, they had to kill them all. They all volunteered their services. When, if you read the Roman Empire, how they persecuted those who were called of this sect of whom we worship, Paul said, when you call heresy, that the way we worship, which is they gave up their possessions to share with others, and then true, you see, Paul could go around preaching. And we know he had his own hard servants. They gave to him. And we're asking you tonight, in respect, because we got some major announcements to tell you about, some updates about our community projects and our land, trying to find land. We got a great, you want to stay tuned for this announcement that Pastor Buddy is going to give you. Today we had a breakthrough. We had a major breakthrough in finding property that we have now agreed to acquire through this love that I'm telling you about. The selling the possessions, reaching down to where it hurts, giving to where it hurts. And this is a primary model of what I'm talking about. Having all things in common. Yahweh loves you good enough to give you blessings if you've got enough of these blessings in you to have all things in common. It is one of the requirements for the last day. Now, I know right now that we're caught up in the material age. We have just gone through one of the, and still probably are in, the greatest age. I mean, we've got cars, we've got computers, we've got telephones and cell phones, and we've got 1,000 things to do today. It just seems like time is, that we don't have, the greatest way to serve Yahweh is to simplify your life. Now, I remember when I was seeking Yahweh and doing a lot of fasting and praying in my early ministry, I was struggling. I had a little service station job. And I made $45 a week. And man, I thought I was making big money. And then I fasted and prayed. This message was burning in my heart. Sell what you got, give to the poor, take it to the cross. I couldn't do that. I wrestled with that for over 40 years. And why that I couldn't do that, to me, was because Yahweh wouldn't require that. You know, you've got a family. I had 3 children. This time I started with, I only had 1, then 2, then 3. And they got to eat. They got to have clothes to wear. They got to have shoes. They got to go to school. You've got to provide a daily source of income. You got to pay for your electricity. You got to pay for your the fuel that you burn. You got to have a form of transportation. You have to have a car or a truck, whatever. And by the time that you got all these utility bills during the month, you had to work at that time, overtime. And so much of this time was bound up in the world. So the greatest practice of sharing possessions is that you can take the complexity out of life by sharing. In other words, if you had five people living on a farm, you would only need one tractor instead of five. You had five people that own five different farms, you need five different tractors. But if you shared, one tractor would do the whole five farms. And the Amish have a social relationship that they share the holding power together. And they, of course, they don't use tractors. They use horses. And they make farming, ancient mode of farming. People just go and flock to their places of growing food and stuff. And people will flock out of the city thinking that this is, you know, organic way of growing food. And they want that. They don't want the modern industrial sprayed cabbage, lettuce, beets, tomatoes, cucumbers, whatever, corn. So the practice of sharing possessions through an Amish lifestyle seems appealing. And yet you don't hear about any miracles out of the Amish. Have you ever heard of a miracle-working Amish preacher? I ain't. They are carnal-minded. Now, it didn't say that the apostles were farmers. It don't say that they were factory workers. It don't say that. It said they sold the possession and divided and came together and lived communally. And a practice of sharing possessions in simplicity became the normity of their economy, and they added people daily, and it opened the way for other people who shaped and shared in the community. Service became the model of social relationships instead of holding power over one another. Well, I want to be the big chief. We want the rest of the people to be the little Indians. And that ain't the way it is. The greatest man who had the power to heal people when the beggar, supposing that he was going to get an offering from Peter, he's going to go in his pocket and give him some silver and gold. He said, silver and gold have I none. Isn't that something? And we feel like we got to have a pocket full or a bank full before we can have anything. And when we get it, we can't share it. Well, let them get it like I got mine. I work for mine. The sharing of possessions among the early believers, according to this passage here in the book of Acts, was on the same level of importance as of the preaching of the apostles, because it made it possible for Peter to have a meal that he, if he wanted. But he didn't have seven no gold. Now when it says that they gave all and shared in common, that meant Peter, the great leader. Today, we have the great leader riding in a Learjet flying around the nation, and the believers, the little Indians, keeping in and supporting him. And that's what they call Christianity today. It's not a model of the Bible based on the scripture. Now, I'm going to spend the next little while telling you about what we have as a collective group. As plans for the future, because we believe that the future lays with the with the reconstruction of the apostolic teachings of all things in common. That's not, that don't mean that you have to sell your home. We're not asking nobody to sell their home. Give up their possessions. We're not even asking you. We just want you to help us to share in our dream and our plans of having a festival site where we own it. I mean, here for the last several years, and I could give you the number, but it would be too embarrassing to tell you that we haven't been able to acquire land with full intent of love. We have had 50, we had 56 acres at one time. We shared in communal and to have a feast site, and we had it. And then the devil got involved in that. You won't believe how he tore that up. See, when you would do good, evil's always present. So you have to be very careful from a biblical perspective of what the Bible teaches. When you would do good, if evil is present, you got to watch for the devil, because he'll come in not sparing the flock. And so then we don't want a bunch of people just living together. That's not my ideal of what this is all about. Now, if the necessity came about and we had to, now that's a different thing. What we're asking is a share of your possessions to give freely. I mean, if you've got a few gold coins laying around, why don't you just box them up and send them to Pastor Buddy, and we will use this to develop the thesis. We've already got the property. We've now closed the deal today. I mean, we agreed, just verbal. And we're going to meet later in the week to start drawing up the contracts on 20 acres of property that we have already, through the love and the charity. This came about because people wanted to give. And they did give. They give to this hurt. They give beyond. They had to give more because a lot of people wouldn't give. If a lot of people would give a little, it would be better than just a few giving a whole lot. And that's our ideal. So we need these things for the community. We need food. We need a seaside camp where we can come and keep the specials that we're required to do. Even Israel returned to their homes. And that was a standard practice, just like it is today. We're not asking you to come and camp on the property. Matter of fact, we don't want that. We want you to come at the appointed times. And you always appointed these times. And we have set these into the service as a model or a demonstration of our faith that we meet three times a year without having to pay rent. This is going to be wonderful. Because we're going to save perhaps as much as $5,000 a year just in rental. And that's a saving that can be given to the seaside and permanently add, as time goes on, we could add more, a bigger serving hall. We need to build an assembly, have a gathering place that we can get in. We're in a tent now. We're starting now. You talk about way behind. We are in a tent trying to collectively gather people with the doctrine that we teach, which is repentance and baptism in the name of Yahweh. Building old-fashioned altars. Well, that really cuts out a lot of people. That, you know, they're too embarrassed to stand on a altar designed by biblical principles as David, as Moses, as Elijah in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, he repaired the name of Yahweh, the altar of Yahweh, in the name of Yahweh, and he replaced 12 stones. Well, there's not a place that we know of that is communal that we could all come and share that and have a place that is designated once, twice, or three times a year, depending on how many times that you can come, and don't come empty-handed. Bring something to the festival site, something that can be used, a 2x4 or a 2x6. We got expert carpenters in the group. We need hammers and nails and saws and things of this nature. You can donate some of those things like that. You see, that's giving your possessions to help us. And then we have men with clear, rational minds that can distribute or to arrange the materials and place them where it could be for the use of the group collectively, sharing all things in common, a common eating hall, for instance. You know, some cafeterias and churches are big enough to hold 3,000 people. We 30 would be, for us, if we had a hall that would serve 30. Sometimes we might have to have a couple of shifts, but, you know, to get 30 people in a little dining hall, but that's the way you start out. You start out with baby steps, and then you walk, and then you run, and then you fly. Well, we're not flying right now, we're just baby stepping. But if you could think and join with us in a collective group and share, like the early believers who had all things in common, if we had enough of people giving a little, it would require a lot out of the few that has to sacrifice. Now, we have come up with the appointed, the promises, people that have given us $150,000 for the purchase of the 20 acres. And it took all of that to get the property right at $150,000. So we need you, after we've already got the land secured, or we'll have this week and begin to draw it up and to close out. We need you to start thinking about what you can do for the assembly. To help us. We need a roof over our head. We got a tent. It's already paid for. It'll be up in Tabernacles, Yahweh willing. And that little creek in front of the property, don't rise. We'll be there with the tent. That's all we've got. Now, I know we were there in the tent, this Passover, and boy, did it ever try our faith. It rained every day, seemed like. I know it didn't rain all the time, but, if you're asking me, I think it did. I think it rained every day, and I think it rained so much that we were basically washed out at times, it seemed like it. But we persevered. We held in there, and we had all things common. We made it. And, you know, a few of us got wet, and a few did get baptized. I think we baptized 8 souls just this past Passover. Now, in Pentecost, now we can have a Pentecost weekend. Pentecost normally is just one day that we celebrate the day of Pentecost. Like the apostolic fathers, which I'm reading here tonight, on all things common, on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost will fully come, they were in one place, one accord, and in one mind, and they had all things common. And the Holy Ghost fell. You know, it becomes a model of social relationship. Nobody lacked anything. Everybody shared common. So if you've got a couple of coins laid back, you know, for hard times. Could you remember Yahweh's house that we need to build? You know, if you had 2 or 3 gold coins or 4 or 5, if you had a few silver coins, some have already donated, some already given. However, we need more. We need much more. To have this place of worship, you'll know exactly where it's going to be. This place is just minutes off of Interstate 75 going south, or if you're coming north on 75, or if you're coming east or west, it's a central point, 75, runs north-south. East and west would be 81 to our east, joining up here on Interstate 40, which runs east-west, and it would cross 75 south at the collective point right about Knoxville, Tennessee. And so then it's very, very centrically located. If you look on the map, Tennessee is the most bordered state in the Union. So it's central. It is very easy. We designed our, or we picked and chose this place specifically for its location, to where it would be very easy for you to come without getting lost. We've had people that come to some of our fellowships with GPS and still get lost. That's how some of these remote areas in that we've been in. However, this is going to be very easy. We'll give you directions coming up for Tabernacles. If all goes well, and Yahweh's willing, we will be setting up this community and fellowship center and time for our Tabernacles, which will be the latter part of October this year because of the 13th month that we're recognizing this year. Every 3 years on the lunar calendar, you have a 13th month, and you say, well, that sounds too complicated. Well, it's not. If you'll come and use this radical generosity and share it with the believers, having all things in common. If you're a truck driver and you want to take a couple of days off and park, well, we're going to have a designated spot where that you can park your rig and come over and spend a day with us right off the interstate. You wouldn't even have to drive your truck to the site. We would come and get you. So we're going to claim this property as we have in the name of Yahweh. We're going to develop it in the name of Yahweh. We need materials to build. If you're in a building business and you'd like to donate something for us, nails, hammers, 2x4s, plywood, anything of that nature, I hope and trust that the Spirit will compel you to remember us, for we are poor and needy. However, we are charitable. We love our Father. We love the truth of the gospel. We love the Bible. We don't have no foolishness. We don't have no man-made core stuff made up to teach out of, like a quarterly, a Sunday go-to-meeting thing. We don't observe the Gregorian calendar. We use Yahweh's nature calendar for signs and seasons with the moon of Genesis 1:14. We're well-versed in how to call the times and redeem them. And we are looking for you to become a part of our group. We welcome you. We are nonviolent. We are loyal, red-blooded Americans. We are Jacob, Israel, blushing, and we're out to stay that way because we teach a separation of the races. Meaning that we don't believe in mixing of the blood of any other race. We think that's against the biblical teaching. And I know a lot of people frown at that with the modern advent of Christianity, which is following the 501(c) agenda of the U.S. government, which is nothing more short of a dictator or Babylon. We don't observe that. We are law-abiding. We don't break no laws. Until it comes to the Bible. Now, if the laws interfere with the Bible, then we're going to come down on the side of the Bible. We believe in fellowship. If there was a law that said, that was put on the Babylon book said that we couldn't congregate and have all things in common, I think we would break that law. Not because we're lawbreakers, but because we are law keepers. The Bible said, fail not to assemble. And that's what we're going to do. And it seems like it's coming down in the United States of America that, you know, they're going to tell you what to do, where to go, and when to worship, and what to wear, and you're going to look like, you know, we're just gonna look like lap dogs for the leaders that are calling the shot. But we believe the Word of Yahweh is the only thing that is acceptable to our group. And we love everyone. We love passionately. We love our people. And we expect you to love yours. We're not going to interfere with you, and you don't interfere with us. We're law-abiding. We've never spent 1 minute inside of a jail, locked up with a coal iron, locked with a lock on it. We've never had any problem with any breaking of even the statutes and laws in our country. We try to, as best we can, observe the speed limit. We wear our safety belts when we drive and things of this nature. We're law-abiding. We believe in that. We believe in having a family assembly, not a bunch of drunks and wild perverts and stuff like that. We don't condone that. We just believe in having biblical worship, praise. We love to sing. We like to play the guitars and the fiddles and the banjos and things of that nature and drums, and we like to make a loud noise to Yahweh when we worship. So we think that we've got a good place. Like I say, we're going to be telling you where it's at later on, in time for the tabernacle meeting that will be held on right off Interstate 75 going south toward Chattanooga. It's between Chattanooga and Knoxville. I'll narrow it down for you right there. The meeting place is between Chattanooga and Knoxville. So if you're coming from, let's say you're coming from the west, you come through Nashville on 24, you hook up on 75 at Chattanooga, come right up 75 about 65 miles. And if you were, let's say you were in Lexington, Kentucky, coming south from the north, you'd be about 160 miles, probably or more, probably a couple of hundred miles from Lexington. You would be right at where you would exit off and come to the CSAT. 10 minutes after you exit the Interstate 75, you'll be at our place where we have designated it as a CSAT to Yahweh. That don't mean everybody's welcome, because everybody ain't well. You need to have the elders to examine you and see if you're in the faith. We don't lay hands on suddenly on nobody. But if you're a stranger and you want to stop through, then you will be acceptable if you are acceptable. If not, we will be kindly entreat you. We'd give you meal and give you gas money if we had to and get you on your way. We wouldn't be mean to you, or we wouldn't mistreat you in any way. We don't believe in doing that. We believe in having love, and we're going to fellowship Yahweh. We're going to keep pressing on, and we're going to possess the kingdom. And we know that we're going to pass from death to life because we love our brother, and we love our assembly. We love our people. Come and make our little feast. I have 20 acres now. If you'd like to have a little camping spot, we could, it's going to be first come, first serve. We're not going to have I got a favorite spot, and that's my spot. No, we're not going to have none. You first come, first serve. Now, if you're eager, you get there three or four days before the festival, that's okay. You got your spot. If you come in three or four days late and expect to be open for you, somebody be in it. So come and expect a blessing. And there's plenty of places, I think, now to camp. You wouldn't be charged anything for camping. But please don't come empty-handed. Bring us a nail or a hammer or a saw or some kind of a offering. Bring us a few coins. Go out there and dig some of those things you got buried up, and let's spend some of them while it's time. I mean, you can't eat money. You know, you can't chew on gold and silver. When the time comes, that's going to be cast in the street. Let's cast it at the apostles' feet and the elders here, and we'll lay out a plan, and we'll purpose it, and we'll put it together. I'd love to have a big fellowship hall to welcome you at the King's Gate Inn. coming through. The great sign out front would say, "Hallelujah, welcome to Hallelujah Acres." And the King's Gate Inn. It would be wonderful for you to read that and to know that we're Yahweh's people. We are called by His name. We teach the biblical application of the house of Israel, with the Hebrew original tongue of the language being interpreted through English translation properly divided and confirming the word with the signs following. So, we want you to come and grow in grace and knowledge and have love and feel welcome. And we're just so thrilled today. I've just been really bubbling up after that a couple of brothers calling. They made the decision that we're going to go with this property. We looked at several, and we prayed about it. We fasted a little bit about it, and here it is, the property number one. We had them listed. We looked at about five different properties, had it listed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, property number one, and we kept coming back to number one. And so we decided on property number one. That was the one that we believe that Yahweh chose for us. I think it's an excellent seaside. You'll love it. I believe you will like it. All of you Yahweh people that have been to our festivals, this time it'll be Yahweh in charge. His word will rule. There'll be love and liberty and praises, and there's just a joyful feeling in my heart for you to come and to fellowship in our Festival of Tabernacles. We hope it's going to be a great one. If you've got any food stuff you'd like to store, we're going to get the carpenters and get us a root cellar and stuff and store some good old country beans and taters and tomatoes and corn and cabbage and cucumbers and things of that nature and put them up. And, you know, we'll have those. Well, we got some good cooks in the group. Miss Virginia and Miss Jan and several others, Miss Connie and Miss Pat, and all the sisters that chip in there, and boy, they work and they'd rather see you eat as eat themselves. They've stood by and literally handed out the last morsel of food when they went to bed hungry. And that's how they love the saints of Israel. So come expecting a blessing when we announce Tabernacle. Come for the first time that Pastor Buddy can say this in over 25 years, that I can say you're coming to Yahweh's, the King's Gate Inn on Hallelujah Acres. That's going to be wonderful to have that, to say it, and it just feels so good rolling off my tongue tonight. You know, there's people to be thanked, but we're going to forego that and thank Yahweh, that Yahweh has moved on the generosity of the people who have donated their time, their energies, their silver and their gold, their FRNs, that Federal Reserve notes, and things of this nature to make this happen, just to get the land. Now, we're just cleared one hurdle. We got another major hurdle to go, and that's when we'll be planning this tabernacle. We'll sit down with the elders and the brothers and sisters that want to sit in on the meeting, and if you'd like to donate some money to building of the, you know, pouring the concrete for the floor and putting a two by four in it or a brick or whatever we use, if you'd like to share in that, we would recognize you and give honor to where honor is due, that you would help us to have a place of an assembly where you know where it's going to be, where it's real convenient for you to just drop off the major north-south interstate 75 and be at the property within 10 minutes after you get off of the exit at the appointed place and drive to the property. So Yahweh bless you is my prayer, and may He prosper you. May He give you the spirit of all things in common. May He give charity into your heart where you won't begrudge what you give, where or you keep your vows. We got people that's vowed and broke them. And that's okay. Yahweh knows all about it. The Bible said it'd be better for you not to make a vow and vow and not go with it. A lot of people is able to help us more and they don't do anything. Then we got people that can help us and they do amazingly what they can do. Just a little bit of several people can add up to more than one just doing a bunch. And it's just wonderful how that people have helped us since we've been announced in this and since we have determined. And that spirit came upon us, a while back, and we decided to give us a place for Yahweh's name. It's Yahweh's name, not ours. It don't belong to Buddy. I'm Peter. Silver and gold have I none, but such I have. Give it to you in the name of Yahweh. Rise up and walk toward the king's gate and enter in with joy and thanksgiving and bring an offering of love, whatever you can give. If you can community give something that we can use, call before. I had a man from Wisconsin. He's going to bring us an old-fashioned cook stove made in 1930, maybe 1931. He said, would you like to have a cook stove? I said, oh, love it. So he's going to try to get down here, make his way down south sometime in the future, and he's going to drop by and deliver the stove. Now, ain't that wonderful? Love. That's love. So if you got a stove, or if you got a refrigerator, or if you got a generator that you ain't using and you know it's just going to waste, why don't you give it to Yahweh and give Yahweh something? See if he won't, you know, make that heart attack he's got scheduled for you because you held back like old Nabal. Maybe he lets you skip that heart attack. Maybe save you $200,000 or $300,000 and wipe you out. He can wipe you out in 5 minutes. So Yahweh can bless you if you give to him. This is his place. It'll be in a trust. It won't belong to anybody other than Yahweh and the people that are in charge of his trust. And that's exactly what we are. Well, my time is coming gone, ladies and gentlemen. But I really do love you tonight. And I pray that Yahweh would bless you repeatedly, give you the right to the tree of life, and that he could give you all things in common spirit that such as they had on the day of Pentecost. That's what Yahweh collectively wants you to have, that day of Pentecost, the spirit. It was a spirit of charity. It was a spirit of love. It was a spirit of fellowship, of breaking bread. Isn't it wonderful to sit down now in a place that Yahweh owns? You'll feel his love and his liberty there, where you don't have to leave it, where you don't have to be threatened and intimidated or insulted. It's wonderful, ladies and gentlemen, to have the liberty of the Spirit through the Spirit of Pentecost. I want you to get it. Think up of something that you can send to me. Just call me up or write me a letter. Simply, all you got to do is write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell. That's N-E-W, two words, new, N-E-W, T-A-Z-E-W-E-L-L, Tennessee, 10-3-7-8-2-4. And you can call me tonight. I'm live around the world on WWRV. Call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now that's area code 423-626-2172. I'm going to say goodnight to you. And tell you that I really love you. All you believers know how happy Pastor Buddy is tonight. That I could tell you tonight that a few people came together and made it possible that we could purchase 20 acres and put it in the name of Yahweh at the King Gate Inn on Highway 75, Interstate, North South. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you tomorrow night. around the world at 11 Eastern Standard Time with another message from Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd Shop. We love you.